good question to ask as pertaining to religion or pertaining to salvation. What is the benefit of coming to the house of God? What is the benefit of being a Christian? What is the benefit of self-denial as to the world and turning away from the world and turning to God? What is the benefit? What is the difference between you and those that are in the world? The benefit is eternal life, that you get to live forever. And the difference is they don't. They don't get to live forever. You get to live forever. You get eternal life, but they don't get eternal life. They're enjoying life right now, but you're also enjoying life right now. And you might deny yourself of some things, not as to that which is emanated from God, as to the wonderful act of creation. All things are yours, and there's nothing that is taken away from you in becoming a Christian. There's nothing at all that is taken away from you. And the only thing that Satan can give you is something that already belongs to you. And the way that he gets control of it is through the weakness of your believing. And when he gets control of it, he gives it back to you if you are under his control through perversion. So all he does is pervert that which is good and the use of that which is good. And he perverts that which belongs to you already. And you find that all that you get out of it is an ungodly thrill as to a gullible desire of perversion, and as to that which it brings on a state of ecstasy from contact of human senses with the tangible creation of matter that already belongs to you. So then, don't let Satan deceive you. You own all things. All things are yours, and Satan is nothing but a spirit of misuse and perversion. And if he can get into your life, he desires to do that, to get out of the dry places, that he might be partakers of your benefits. Because the only way that he can be partakers of anything that is the act of creation as to godliness is by the weakness of the flesh of living in you and getting control of you and your believing. And that's the only way that he can do it. And I don't plan to let him into my life by the help of God. Jesus said, "The prince of this world cometh, he hath no part in me." And I don't intend to let him into my heart. I don't want him in my life. I don't want him in my world. I want to be holy and godly and pure because I like living for Jesus. Sister Dale used to sing that song, I like a Christian life. I like the Christian life. My friends tried to tell me, the songwriter said, all the things that I was missing and how bad it was to be cut off from all those things. But the songwriter said, I like the Christian life. I found out that I've never been cut off from anything. I've never missed anything. To the contrary, God has given me the abundance of my heart's desire. He said, I am the Prince of Life. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it abundant. And the word abundant means filled up and overflowing. When you see a person that professes Christianity and they're always intermingling with the things of the world, then you automatically know that they are a believer, but they do not have the Spirit of God. Being a believer is one thing. If you believe, the Bible said you do well. The devil also believes, but that won't save you. But being a believer is one thing. Being born again is another thing. Whereas if you have not his Spirit, you're none of his. And when you get his Spirit, then that means that you are a living child of God. A living child of God. All right. I want to read just a little bit. And over in chapter 7 of St. Matthew's, if you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended his sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Notice this now in the sixth chapter. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That is the things that you need. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. All right, he says here that all of the world seeks after the things of the world, and the world loves its own. So then, if you are of the world, then the world is going to love you. And if you are not of the world, then the Bible said they're going to hate you for my name's sake. And he says, come out from the world, be a separate people, touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. Come out from the world. For if the love of the world is in you, the Bible said the love of the Father isn't there. So then if you have a love for the world, then you have never been born again to have the love from the Father. So you need to have the love of God. Now, I want to dwell on something here just for a few minutes. In the seventh verse, it says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be open unto you. I never will forget a simple little thing that happened to Betty and I. We've related this to you before. But in our real early ministry, out on the field, when we didn't have anything but just a hope and a promise, and we still don't have anything now in the sense that we don't accept anything but his hope and promise, faith in God. But nevertheless, that's all we had. And I recall where the Lord told me to go from one town to another town which we have done many times strictly by faith, without anything, without any money, without any way, without any help, had nobody to support us on the field or anything at all. We just followed Christ. As many of us were led by the Spirit of God or the sons of God. Well, anyway, it told me to go from one town to another, so I said, well, Lord, now I don't have to tell you, you know I don't have any money. And you know that I don't have any way to get there except my old jalopy as to what we had for a car. You know, I said, now I'll just take it, and if you said go, I'll go. So the Lord said go. So I got in the old car, and I got my wife and got my little ones, and we started off. And we got kind of in between. And, of course, I give out a gas, which I knew I was going to do because I didn't have any gas in there, but just a little bit, you know, and I didn't have any money to get any. So I said, well, here we are, Lord. I knew this was going to happen, and I got my expectations. Here we sit. So while we were sitting there, the Lord just kind of reproved me a little bit about my unbelief. And I thought, well, I never drove a car without gas, you know. But if you're supposed to believe, you're supposed to believe. And I said, well, I believe, Lord. I believe. And so about that time, I picked up my Bible, little old Bible I believe I had laying on the dash or either in my shirt pocket. And I reached and got it, and I opened it up, and there was a strong rebuke from the Lord right there. And I read this very thing. I turned right to this. It said, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And it just set my heart aflame. When that happened to me, my faith just went up like a kite. And I placed my hands on the dash, and I said, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, gas and no gas, this car is going to run. It's going to crank. And that thing, that quick, cranked up. And God, my hand be raised to heaven. It's the truth if I ever told it in my life. I drove it all the way from there to where I was going. Let's give the Lord a hand. It really works. It really works. I remember, you've even heard my Dale tell it. She was just a little girl. And you remember how that when this happened, she hollered out. She said, Daddy. Said, I felt something come in my feet and go out my ponytail. Mother had to her fixed in a ponytail. But whatever it was God, you know, and it worked. And I just thought we'd dwell on that just a little bit tonight. I don't feel any drawing as to getting into the deep things of God, and yet these things are very needful that we'd like to discuss with you. First of all, he said, ask and it shall be given you. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. A lot of times when you read the scripture, a person, they begin to question the scriptures to say, well, I've asked and I did not receive. But that isn't true. You did receive. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. So you cannot say that you ask and did not receive. Now, I'm a minister of the gospel, and I'm set here for the defense of the truth. See, and I am here to defend God's word and to tell you that no one has ever asked of God at any time but what they've got, what they ask for according to their believing. Jesus said, everyone that asketh receiveth. And when they ask, he said, according to your faith, be it unto you. So you received according to your believing. Just exactly according to your believing, that's the way that you receive. And like the little story we've told about the little girl that went to God and asked God for a certain thing. And when she returned, someone said, did he answer you? She said, yes. Said he said, no. And so then a lot of times we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Bible said the Spirit of God on the inside of us making intercession with groans and moans that cannot be uttered. It searcheth the heart and minds of the Spirit as to see what your need is and what my need is, and gives us accordingly because we have given our sovereignty to God. When we're born again, we give our sovereignty to God and we say, now Lord, here's my sovereignty, and whatever you want from me, that's what I want. I give you my life, I give you my will, I give you my way, and Lord, whatever you want from me, that's what I want. And so then we find God takes advantage of that. And he gives us accordingly. But see, it's so beautiful here. It said, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So then when we ask, we receive, and when we seek, we find, and when we knock, it is open unto us. And this is the beautiful thing about the Word of God. I think about the Word of God so often. The Word of God to me is everything. I think continually about the Word of God. The Word of God's on my mind in the morning. It's on my mind at night. It's on my mind continually, the Word of God. And I think about the Word of God. And I think, Lord, the Word of God is so wonderful. It's so rich. It's so great. It's so outstanding. See, the Word of the Lord. The Bible said, and the Word of the Lord came unto the prophets, and they would go witness, and they would go tell the things that the Spirit was saying, that it might preserve the life of the people, that it might bring healing, that it might bring deliverance. And the Bible said that God sent His Word and healed them. By His Word, He cast out the unclean spirits. And the Bible said, with His Word, He raised the dead. It's by His Word that He created you and me. And that we are existent today because of the act of God, where God created us by His Word. And we today are the results of the Word. Everything that you see around you has emanated from God because God came forth and spoke it into existence. And the Bible teaches that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word came forth and was made flesh, or put on flesh, and dwelt among us as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. So then the Word, everything centers around the Word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. The Word being God, the Bible said He esteems His Word above His name. I say so often that the thing is greater than the name of the thing, so He esteems His Word as to Himself greater than His name. And then when we think about the Word, Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. And he that heareth my word and believeth on my word is passed from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation. When you believe on the Word of God, you pass from death unto life and you'll never come into condemnation. I like to think of it like this. The Bible says that He sent His Word and healed them. He sent His Word and healed them. You know, a lot of times we misconstrue as to what the Lord is saying. When He said He sent His Word and healed them, I look and I see Jesus. And here Jesus has made the Word. And here Jesus walked among men. And here was the Word healing the people, taking our infirmities, bearing our sicknesses in His body on the tree. And there He was healing the people. The Word came and healed the people. Not only that, but Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I look back at the things that He done at Calvary. And when I see the things that God done at Calvary through the Lord Jesus Christ, I realize that He not only healed the people through Christ Jesus as He walked the earth, but He healed the people through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That when Jesus died, that keeps me from dying. Jesus taking my infirmities, it took away my infirmities. I don't have those infirmities to bear because Jesus took those infirmities. I don't have to be sick. I don't have to be in poverty. I don't have to be with problems and oppressions and all those kind of things. I don't have to die. Jesus did all that for me. That's why he came. He was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. And the Bible said, I have destroyed him, even the devil, the one that has power over death. And so then all of those things, that's the works of the devil. Sickness is the works of the devil. Poverty is the works of the devil. Blindness, deafness, all these oppressions of life, the wrecks, the sorrows, the heartaches, the miseries, all of that is the works of the devil. And Jesus was manifested at Calvary to destroy the works of the devil. When Jesus died, that destroyed the works of the devil. For everyone that can believe, the works of the devil is destroyed. It not only destroyed the works of the devil, but as Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And he said, I have destroyed him, even Lucifer, the one that hath power over death. So he not only destroyed the works of the devil, but at Calvary he destroyed the devil. That's kind of hard to get a hold of, isn't it? But he destroyed the devil. Somebody would say, well, who is this that's given me all of these problems, Brother Pike? It's you and your unbelief. Let's give the Lord a hand. No problem. It's you and your unbelief. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, I believe that the devil is to blame for everything that's wrong. I do too. I do too. But what are you going to do with the fact that the Bible said out in the millennium in the 1,000 years reign, when nothing shall harm in all of my holy mountain, saith the Lord, because the devil is bound in the pit. And then all of a sudden there's rebellion in the earth out of people. Who called that rebellion? Why did they rebel if the devil isn't there? If the devil's to blame for all of it, why did they rebel? You say, but Brother Pike, you said that you believe the devil's to blame for all of it. I certainly do. But I believe the devil's to blame for it in this way. That when you are born into the world, you are born into iniquity, you are shaped in iniquity, and you're born into rebellion and all these kind of things. See, and the people that's going to pass through, when the church is translated, pass through the tribulation period, and be out in the millennium, those that will rebel against God, they are those that are of the first birth. They are of those that are of the first birth. And even though the devil is gone, still they are born with that contrary nature. And folks, that's the way it is. You know, let's take Eve for instance. Eve did not have anything within her that would have done wrong so far as Satan causing her to do wrong. Not anything. Somebody would say, well, that's what happened. The devil got into her only when she allowed him to. Somebody said, no, the devil just took advantage of her. Oh, no. God hasn't made anybody that the devil can take advantage of. She listened to him. She got into a conversation with him. And as the Bible said, when being enticed by the lust of the eyes, drawn away from her steadfastness in God, then there was a conception of heart as to unbelief, and unbelief led to sin because God had told her to stay away from that tree. Said, don't get into human reasoning, as you and I would say today. Don't lean to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Come and reason with God. If the word of God says it, let that be it. You know, there's one thing about faith. Faith doesn't reason. Faith doesn't consider opposition. Faith doesn't consider circumstances. Faith doesn't consider anything except the Word of God. Whatever the Word of God says, faith says yea and amen. That's it. Because the Bible said all of the promises of God are yea and amen. Paul said, I didn't come to you preaching yea and nay as to the Word of God. We don't preach the word of God to you as yea and nay, because the word of God is not yea and nay. The word of God is yea, no nays at all. The word of God, Paul said, is yea and it's amen. So then faith doesn't consider any alteration. It doesn't consider any chance of failure. It doesn't consider circumstantial environments. It just says that's what it says, folks. That's the way it's going to be. That's the way it's going to be. Jesus said it. That's the way it's going to be. Amen. Somebody said, but what if I don't believe it? It has nothing to do with it. That's the way it's going to be. Somebody says, well, you mean to tell me that if I don't believe it, it's still going to be that way? If you don't believe it, it's still going to be that way. The Bible says that if you deny God and you deny faith and you deny the Word of God, God remaineth faithful and He cannot deny Himself. Which means your neighbor is going to get the benefit of what you didn't get the benefit of. Somebody's going to get the benefit of it. It's going to come to pass some way or another because it's unaltered, it's unchanged, it's settled in heaven forever. It must be that way. And just because you didn't get what you asked for didn't mean that the Word of God did not work. And that you can charge God and say, look, I believe, I've done all these things, and then it didn't work. That's not the way it is at all. His Word will work. His Word is settled in heaven. His Word cannot be altered. It cannot be changed. The Bible said, and my Word shall accomplish that I please, prosper in that whereunto I've sent it, and will not return to me void. That is of what I desire. So then it's going to work. It always works. It always has worked. Somebody got the benefit of it because it worked, and you was left out because you did not believe. So then in the unbelief, here Eve finds herself in problems. And folks, it's still the same way today. People are finding themselves filled with problems because they stagger at the promises of God. This is the beautiful thing of Abraham. The Bible said, and Abraham staggered not at the promises of God, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. See, what we do, a lot of time we stagger at the promise. We start questioning the Word of God. We start wondering if we're good enough to have it. We start thinking, well, I don't know, God may not do it for me. If I get bold and testify to it, then the Lord, he might just let me down, you know. He might just look at me and say, well, I'll just show you, you know, boasting about what this is going to happen, what's not going to happen. I'll just let you down and fall flat on your face. Don't you know that God can't do that? Don't you know that that's playing a game, that's staggering the promises of God, that's imagination? And the Bible said to cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ, that when the Lord said, say what you will, don't doubt in your heart, believe it and it'll come to pass. It has to be that way. And that God isn't seeking to undermine you or to pervert you in your cause. And God isn't going to alter His Word and isn't going to change His Word. And God said, you say what you will and you don't doubt and it'll come to pass. And then if God come against you and try to trip you up or to let you down on that, don't you know that the kingdom of God would be divided? And the Lord Himself testified that a divided kingdom cannot stand. That we can boldly say that God is our helper. That we can boldly make our statements and go that way and believe in it and trust in it. And God will never at any time let us down, nor confront us in any way as to alter the thing that He has said or to change it. But He will hasten to perform it and rejoice over the fact that you're bold enough to make the statement. See, the only thing that we have to beware of is that we must walk in accordance with God's Word. We must walk in harmony with God's Word so that we can have the confidence. Because if there's any shortcomings, it's not an alteration of or a change of God. It is the lack of your staunch confidence in God. See, the Bible said that Abraham was strong in faith. God gave him a promise and said, Abraham, you're going to have a son. Said, Sarah will bring forth a son. Y'all are going to be blessed with a son. And Abraham, though he and Sarah, as to pass the age of multiplying or bearing, yet he believed God. He did not stagger at the promises of God. He believed God. God said it, he believed it, and it came to pass. He just went forth testifying that God said, and folks, that's the way it's going to be. You know, wouldn't it be wonderful if we took that same outlook, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, His Word unaltered to 1,000 generations, and we could just go forth and say, the Lord said it, and that's the way that it's going to be. But a lot of times say, well, the Lord said it, but you know, I don't know. Maybe it won't be like that. I tried it, and it didn't work. I tell you again, that wasn't it at all. You could have boldly said, and the Lord said it, and that's the way it will be, folks. Because if you don't believe it, it's still the way that it will be. Let's give the Lord another hand. It doesn't change it or alter God. So then you can boldly say that God said it and that's the way it's going to be. All right. Now, so we find that what we need to do, as John said, to do the things that please God, hereby we assure our hearts, then do we have confidence in God. At what we ask of him, we know that he heareth us, and if we know that he heareth us, we know that we have the petition we desire of him, because we do the things that please him. Well, that is to say, if I know that God hears me, I automatically know that I have the desire of mine heart as to my petition, because it's already given to me in Christ. It's not a matter of how good I am, it's how good he is. He's my righteousness. And if I am walking close enough to God to convince my heart, it's not a matter of whether I'm good enough or not. The fact that I could believe proves that I please God. Like Enoch, without faith it's impossible to please God. He pleased God. He walked with God. See, if I believe, that proves that I've done something, some way, to walk in harmony, to convince my heart. And if I believe, then that is my righteousness, for it purifies my heart. And the Bible said, and God imputed Abraham's faith unto him as righteousness. Blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin, and unto whom God imputeth faith for righteousness. So then, we find that the sanctification of my heart is by faith. Jesus said, by the faith, my faith. Paul turned my people from darkness to light and to the faith by which they're sanctified, even the faith which is in me. So then we find that when we do the things that please God, then he heareth us. Now, if I know that he hears us, I know that I have the petition that I desire of him, because all things were given to me before the world ever was. For the Bible said these things were given to me in Christ before the world ever was, and at the rending of the veil at Calvary, they were brought to light, which means understanding. When you say light, you're talking about understanding. All right, so then what must I do? The Bible says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it'll be done unto you. Then the question is, how can I know when I'm abiding in God? John makes that real clear, because John said, God is love, and he that abideth in love abideth in God. And when love abides in you, and you abide in love, then are you abiding in God. And you can ask whatever you want, because faith worketh by love, and it's by faith that you receive the things that you want. And love is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. That's why you must be born again. If you have not his Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost, as to the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of Christ, then you are none of his. And if you have the Spirit of Christ, which is the Spirit of truth, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come into the world, the Bible said he'll enter into you and the world won't see him, but you will see him through eyes of understanding. And when the Spirit of Christ comes into the world, then the Spirit will abide in you, and it will shed abroad love, and it will testify, Jesus said, of me. Even if my Spirit, if it came into you, would testify of me, then Christ's Spirit coming into you will testify of him. That Spirit that was in Christ, that whatever it done in that body, when it goes into you, it will do the very same thing. See, and so this is what we have to remember, that I, through my yielding of sovereignty, I give my sovereignty to Christ, that it be not me living, but Christ living, and the life I now live, as Paul said, to live by the Son of God, of the Christ that is within me, or the eternal life, in that I lost my temporal life through sin. All right, so then we see the wonderful Word of God. Here is the Word of God. We think of the Word of God. How do we think of the Word of God? He sent his Word and healed them. So then when the Word says something as to by his stripes you're healed, or all things of you are yours, or whatever the Word says, if you can believe the Word, then the Word heals you, because the Word turns into Spirit. The Word changes into Spirit, because the Word is Spirit and it is life. It changes into life. It changes into Spirit. You hear the Word through a vocal expression of a minister. It strikes the vibrations of your ears, and through that it goes down into your heart, And when it gets down into your heart, it becomes interwoven as an inspiration, which is a spiritual quickening. It becomes interwoven with your spirit, and thus are you one with Christ. As He is the quickening spirit, so the Spirit has quickened your spirit and changed itself into one spirit, and that one spirit is then in control of the body, according to the measure of Christ that you allow into you. So then, as to, I say this so often, putting the safeguard into the fabric, as to the interwoven, then the stains cannot penetrate. So the inner man is sealed by the great, wonderful Holy Spirit unto the day of the redemption of the body. And this is what God is wanting us to do. Receive of His Spirit whatever you can. The Bible said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And they gave Him the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive it in measure. As to whatever your measure is, so are you. As the man thinketh in his heart, so he is. And according to the measure of the Spirit, which is the mind of Christ, so is your thinking. And so are you as to the measure of that thinking. All right, so then He sent His word and healed him. Here's the word hanging at Calvary. And the word is thus healing us. Because the word is taking my infirmities. The word is taking my death. The word is taking my sorrows. He's borne my sorrows and my grief and all these things. The word is healing me there at Calvary. So then, before I was ever born into the world, this was given to me. And the Bible said God so loved us that He saved us while we were yet in our sins. He so loved us that He saved us while we were yet in our sins. Before we ever came to Him, before the world ever was, before we was ever born into the world, He called us through divine predestination. And the Bible said them that He foreknew, He also did predestinate to be conformed to His image. And them that He predestinated, when the preaching time come, He also called. And the Bible said them He has sanctified once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. And He hath perfected forever, or made perfect forever, them that are sanctified, that they are sealed with the Spirit of God as to the inner man, and the outer man cannot be spotted because it is dead in the sight of God. He has separated the spirit from the body. The body is dead, buried in water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus for remission of sin, identified with Him in death, and raised with Him in the resurrection of life. So then that means that we are free from the body. Paul said the body of this death, we're separated from the body of this death. I say again, as the Bible said, and the veil was rent in twain. Or that is to say, Jesus made in Himself two or twain, both Lord and Christ. And at Calvary, He separated the Lord from the Christ. He said, this temple you can destroy it. I'll raise it up in 3 days. And they understood not that He spake of His body. So then the temple, the Bible said the veil was rent in twain. That is, He had made in Himself two. So He separated the Christ from the body. The Spirit from the body. The Lord from the Christ. Folded up the body. And laid it away for sin. And Paul said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? This bastard child image in which we are born to begin with, as to an image of iniquity. Who shall deliver me from it? And I take you back again to Daniel and the angel and the prophecy. 490 years upon thy people, Daniel. And then 483 years comes to pass. And the Bible said Messiah came, made an end of sin, made an end of transgression, made an end of iniquity. How did He make an end of iniquity? Because you're shapen in iniquity, and He came in the form of the image of iniquity and took that image to Calvary, and God smote that bastard child image, put it away out of His presence forever. And how did He make an end of transgression? The Bible said in transgression of the law is sin, and He fulfilled every jot and every tittle, because the Bible said, and the law shall not pass away till every jot and tittle be fulfilled. And Jesus said, it is finished, Father. And when He fulfilled every jot and tittle, then, according to the Bible, he folded it up with his body. He laid it away that sin could never touch you and I. So then we reckon the body to be dead indeed under sin and under the world by the body of Jesus, buried in water baptism. And Paul said, inasmuch as you've been baptized in the Lord, you put on the Lord. So as many as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. And being baptized into one body as a membership through this one life, as to a spirit, my life, my arms, my life is what causes my arms to be fastened to my body. If the life died within this arm, then I could not have life in that arm anymore, but have to sever it, amputate it, cut it off. So then by one spirit, even God's spirit, even the Christ spirit, then are we many members, the body in particular as to members, the temple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and these members as to whatever the measure might be, so are we joined to the body as one life flowing through all members, baptized into the body, the membership by one spirit of life, even the life of Christ. And so we find that being baptized into Christ, we put on Christ. When we're baptized for the remission of sin, then we automatically receive the infilling of the Spirit. And with this, we are witnesses for the Lord Jesus. For the Bible said, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. When the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall receive power, and then shall ye be witnesses for me, first in Jerusalem, and then to the uttermost parts of the world. For the Bible said, and salvation shall be preached in his name, beginning at Jerusalem, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so today, the gospel is going into all the world, and I thank God that I have a little part in it. And it's like Betty and I, we just come back from Jerusalem. And there we were able to preach the gospel in the old city, witness and give out literature and do something for Jesus. All right, so then we know that God is with us, and we know that we're trying to do a little bit for God. And together we're all working that our light might be seen throughout the world. Well, when the gospel is published throughout the world for a witness, then shall the end come. So we know we're getting close to the end. Now, I believe that we're getting close to the end of that war over yonder. I started praying over in Jerusalem a few days ago, and I declared in my heart that war is going to end. I declared it. Somebody said, but what if it don't? There's no what if it don't, it will end. There's no such thing as what if it don't. Jesus said, say what you will, and it'll be done to you. And I'm saying what I will. It's coming to an end. Let's give the Lord a hand if you believe that. God's going to bring that thing to an end. I ask him to do it, and everyone that asks him to receive it. No reason for me to doubt it when he said I could have it. I don't like all that bloodshed over there. God doesn't like all that bloodshed over there. So he's going to turn that thing around and do something about it. I'm sure you prayed and believed too. All right, let's stand together. I'd love to go on and on talking about the wonderful word of God. But I believe we've said enough tonight that you can kind of conceive of what I'm saying. And understand the importance of faith in the word of God. How sure it is. How wonderful it is. So wonderful is the word of God. So wonderful. Let's sing this little chorus, Brother Taylor. And after that, we're going to let you go. There's a lot to be done, folks. And God's giving you the opportunity to do it. The Bible teaches that God give the word, and great was the multitude of them that published it. And in the last days it says that we should take the word and run with it, in that the king's business requires haste. We're not to be slothful in the king's business. The Bible says if you try to save your life in this world, then you will lose it. Try to save your life. Do everything you can for your convenience of life, for your edification of life, for your benefit of life, as to a social thing with you in life, and as to fixing things for you or self. And you'll lose it. But if you lose your life in this world for Christ, then you gain your life unto eternal life. He will give you eternal life. If you will give him that body, to dwell in, to do his thing in life, then he will give you eternal life. He'll give you extensive life. He won't blot your name out of life. If you're enjoying life, then that is the difference. It's the differentiating between you and those that are without. You have eternal life. You already have eternal life. You already have passed from death into life. Let's sing this little quote first. What have I ever done to deserve God's own Son? I'm not worthy of one nail in his hand. But he walked the road to Calvary to die in my place. Why he loved me, I can't understand. Sing that with me now. Roll back the curtains of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human and humans forget. Remind me. Sing that chorus again. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human, and humans forget. So remind me, oh Lord. Let's sing this little chorus together. We sing it so often. There's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. The altars are open. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. For at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the day. You love the Lord? Shackled by a heavy burden, beneath the sin and shame, but the hand of Jesus touched me. Now I'm no longer the same. Can you sing it with me? For he touched me. Oh,
touch me. And oh, your eyes that flood my soul. Something happened, and now oh, I know that Jesus touched me, and He made me whole. For He touched me, oh, He touched me, and oh, joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know that Jesus touched me, and He made me whole.
Let's sing this little chorus in closing tonight. I trust that everything is well with you in your heart, that you love the Lord. He's with you, and that everything is well with you.
We will praise Him. We will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners. And we'll give Him glory, God, peace.